بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم للزكاة فاعلون وقال تعالى والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أعط منفقا خلفا وممسكا تلفا او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected elders and brothers, sisters who may be listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have gathered here today to listen to some aspects, some guidelines with regards to one of the pillars of Islam. Islam has got five pillars. The Shahadat, to proclaim the declaration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one and only deity worthy of worship. The finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second pillar is to pray five times a day. The third pillar is to discharge our zakat. The fourth is to fast in the month of Ramadan, and the fifth is to go for Hajj, for whoever can afford to go for Hajj. The reason for discussing this pillar of Islam, which is Zakat, during the month of Ramadan, is that many people discharge their Zakat during the month of Ramadan. It is by all means not necessary to discharge your Zakat during the month of Ramadan. In fact, one has to discharge it whenever his zakatable date becomes due, or whenever his zakat date comes along, he has to discharge his zakat at that point in time. But many of people are not aware of their zakatable date, and therefore they discharge their zakat during the month of Ramadan. So therefore it is important for us to understand some of the rulings, some of the guidelines which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set forth. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say give your zakat, or zakat phenk do, just discharge it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. The successful believers are those who really they do their zakat. In other words, they make sure they calculate it correctly, it is discharged in the right avenues, it goes to the right people. And therefore, we have to make a concerted effort to learn the rulings of zakat and how that zakat has to be discharged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, in different places, warnings for those who do not discharge their zakat. In the ayat that was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Those who mass up, who gather gold and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they do not fulfill their religious obligations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon their shoulders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them glad tidings of a painful punishment. And that painful punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the next verse. And he says, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. On the day of Qiyamah, this very same gold and silver on which the zakat was not being paid, they were not spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that very same gold and silver will be branded and heated up in the fire of Jahannam. And their foreheads and their sides and their backs will be branded with that. And it will be said to them, هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. This is what you gathered up for yourselves. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. Now taste the pain of that which you gathered up for yourself. Taste that azab for yourself. Then in another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe be unto those, destruction be for those who take out faults in everything, that is the aib nikalne walon ka and taana karne walon ka, those who all the time they are ridiculing people. Woe be unto those, accursed be those people, destruction be for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also for those, alladhi jama'a maalan wa addada, those who gather up wealth and they keep on counting it. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. They think that that wealth will allow them to remain forever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them and says that these people will be in the fire of Jahannam, the fire which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has kindled. And nothing can extinguish that fire. So if we have to analyze these verses of the Quran Sharif, and then we look at why there is so much of emphasis, such severe warnings for not giving zakat, 2.5% of the wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is imposing such severe warnings upon those who don't discharge their zakat. What is the reason for it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything. So why then imposing such heavy penalties upon those who don't give a mere 2.5% of their wealth in zakat? So if we have to analyze it and we look and see, then everything that we have, all the wealth, all our possessions, all our faculties through which we earn, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reality of the matter. We can put a seed into the ground, but that's about all we can do, and put a little bit of water over it. If it doesn't germinate, if it doesn't grow, then we can't really do anything about it. We can open our shops, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't send the customers, then we can't do anything about that. We can study very, very hard, yet if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not destined for us to get a job, then our professions will not yield any material benefits. So everything that we have comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran Sharif also. He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are the ones who created the cattle with our own hands, and we made it as though they are the owners of it. But the real owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when the real owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to tell us that from all the wealth that I own and is sitting in your hands, you must discharge 97.5% of it as zakat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have been unjust in this demand of his. He would have been perfectly just, because if it belongs to him, if I've got a trust kept by someone and I tell him that you've got my 10,000 rands, from there take 9,500 rands and give it to so and so person. So he has got no right to ask me why I must give it to so-and-so person and why you're not trusting me anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have been perfectly justified if he had to tell us to give away 97.5% of our wealth in zakat. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to discharge only a mere 2.5% of our wealth, and that also not on everything that we own and possess, on a few selected items. Now, if a person cannot discharge even that much in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed the person is worthy of such torments, such warnings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif. And then there is barakat in giving our zakat as well. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for the person who spends. O Allah, the person who spends in your path, grant him more. And the one who holds back, Ya Allah, grant him destruction in his wealth. The Quran Sharif itself says that يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes interest, usury to become destroyed, to become annihilated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes zakat, causes sadaqat, charities to increase the wealth. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that in one hadith, that a dirham of riba, that a dirham of interest, of zakat, which remains in a person's wealth, which is not discharged correctly. A little bit of wealth also that remains of zakat and it is not discharged, such zakat that remains in a person's wealth is a means of destruction for the balance of a person's wealth. And therefore it is so important for us to discharge this zakat in the correct manner to the correct recipients whilst calculating it as well. Many of us, now it's no more even an estimate of zakat. They keep coming up with new names, so now they say it's a guesstimate. You don't even have to estimate anymore. Now you just a thumbsuck, guesstimate of zakat. So there's no such thing as a guesstimate of zakat or estimate of zakat. It has to be calculated correctly. On which items do we have to pay the zakat? Those we should calculate. And then how it is supposed to be discharged? Those we have to calculate. We'll just discuss a few of the rulings pertaining to zakat, and then we'll have some question and answers. For whoever wants to ask any questions and answers, my ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Asghar Ali Rabbani Sahib from Darul Uloom Karachi, is also present today, and he is excess of 73 years old, and he stays in Darul Uloom Karachi, and he's been a mufti there for the last 33 years. The last 60 years of his life have been dedicated to learning and imparting and teaching of knowledge of deen. So he's a very senior person. We can ask him some questions as well, those which affect us. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not imposed upon us that we pay zakat on everything that we own or possess. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a threshold for us. And that threshold is that anyone who owns the equivalent of nisab. And nisab is the equivalent of 618 grams or thereabout of silver. The value is keep changing on a daily basis. It's become so easy for us to check on those nisabs nowadays that we can just go to any of the reputable websites and check up what the nisab value is. So anyone who has got the equivalent of nisab in gold, silver, cash, or trading stock. And we'll discuss each one of these, inshallah. But in principle, if anyone has got this amount of money, this amount of gold, this amount of silver, this amount of trading stock, then he is one who has to pay zakat on these items. In other words, if you've got a house that you are is your dwelling, you're staying there, there's no zakat on this major asset of yours. If you've got a shop that you own, there's no zakat on the shop, the structure of the shop, the building itself, and so forth. So anyone who has got nisab at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, when we speak about the year, we speak about a lunar year, So let's just assume that a person is calculating his zakat on the 1st of Ramadan every year. Then if he has got, if he had the equivalent of nisab, which is about 4,500-5,000 rands at the moment, at the beginning of on the 1st of Ramadan last year, if he had it, and he had the equivalent of nisab at the end, at the 1st of Ramadan this year, then such a person has to pay zakat. Provided, of course, that it did not become zero. His wealth, his gold, silver, trading stock, cash, did not become zero during the course of the year. Even though it may have went below nisab during the course of the year, but it did not become zero during the course of the year, such a person has to pay zakat. The other important aspect is that zakat is payable upon all the wealth that one owns at the end of one zakatable year, irrespective of how long that wealth has been with him. In other words, if the person had 10,000 rands or 100,000 rands at the beginning of Ramadan last year, and on the 1st of Ramadan this year, he's got 1.1 million rands. But the 1 million rand came just the day before. The 1 million rand came just the day before. He has to pay zakat on the full 1.1 million rands. Not only on the 100,000 rand, even though it only came a day in advance. And our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says that this is the barakat of that money of zakat, that it stayed in the sohbat and in the company of the zakatable wealth just for one day, and Allah Ta'ala also accepted it for zakat. So that is the barakat of sohbat and staying in the company of the righteous and pious and the good wealth. So never, that is with regards to the annual year of the validity or the obligation of zakat. It becomes wajib and obligatory upon any person who has got this wealth, and the wealth would, should have stayed for him for the duration of 1 year. Zakat is then payable upon gold, silver, cash. These things are fairly straightforward. Many people ask the question, what about Maulana, diamonds? We got diamonds in the rings. What about zakat on that? What about zakat on platinum, which some people say is, or at one stage at least, it was more valuable than gold? What about zakat on all of these things? So zakat is not payable on these things. Why? Simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it's payable only on these items. Another thing that we learn is that in as far as our ibadat are concerned, we can't let our minds do the rulings and regulations. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and that is it. Mustanad raste wahi maane gaye, jin se hoke tere diwane gaye, lot aaye jitne farzane gaye, taab manzil sirf diwane gaye. Mustanad raste wahi maane gaye, jin se hoke tere diwane gaye. In Urdu, a diwana is a person who is madly in love. He doesn't ask questions, he doesn't use his intellect, he just goes hook, line and sinker to please his beloved. So, mustanad raste wahi maane gaye, jin se hoke tere diwane gaye. And farzana in Urdu means a person who uses his intellect for everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the poet, our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says that the right path is the path of the divanas, who don't allow their intellect to make the rulings and regulations of the Sharia. Lot aaye jitne farzane gaye, taab manzil sirf divane gaye. Whoever was on this path of love from amongst the divanas and the farzanas, only the divanas reached the destination, the farzanas all had to come back. Because they won't be able to reach their destination. Zakat is wajib and payable only upon gold and silver. Even though diamonds may be more valuable, even though platinum may be more valuable, zakat is not payable on those diamonds and on that platinum. Yes, of course, if a person purchased diamonds for resale, he bought it as an investment, he's going to sell it when the price is right, then that falls into a different category. But we're speaking about those diamonds that a person has in his ring, or a lady has got in her jewelry that she's using. She doesn't have to pay zakat on those diamonds. She has to pay zakat on the weight of the gold that is in there. And the third, or the fourth aspect at least, on which zakat is payable, is our trading stock. Now we should understand well, the trading stock refers to anything that is for, it's not anything that's for sale that is zakatable. Anything that was purchased with the sole intention of resale. Each one of these words has got a meaning. Therefore, you know, let me just repeat it one time again, that anything that was purchased with the sole intention of resale, that is, falls under the category of trading stock, and that has, one has to pay zakat on those items. So if someone was gifted an item and he wants to sell it, zakat is not payable on that item because it was not purchased, he was gifted that item. Anything that was purchased with the sole intention of resale. If someone bought a property and he was in two minds, he felt that, you know, when the time is right, he may sell it, or when the time is right, he may develop the property and stay in that property, or he may even give it out for rent. So then zakat is not payable on that property. But if he purchased that property with the sole intention of resale, and his intention was that I'm going to sell it, even though I'm not going to sell it now, when the price is right, I'll sell it. I'll put it onto the market. But my intention is to sell it. I don't have any intention to stay there. I don't have any intention to put it on rent. So that property even then falls under the category of trading stock. The same applies to diamonds. The same applies to Kruger Rands. He bought the, well, Kruger Rand fall into the category of gold, so zakat is payable either way. But anything that he purchased with the sole intention of resale, zakat is payable on those items. Then the traders normally ask the question, then Maulana, what value must we pay our zakat on? Because must we put it on the wholesale value or the retail value? Or what value must we pay our zakat on? So in this particular ruling, the basic ruling is, the principle is that we have to pay our zakat on the market value of those items. Now how do you determine the market value? There's a wholesale market and there's a retail market and there's a mass bulk market that is there. So how do you determine what is the market value of the items that I am selling? So the safer thing to do would be for you to calculate your zakat not on your cost price but on your selling price, whatever you're selling the item for, because the principle is what sort of cash can you generate by selling these items. But there is some leeway in the Sharia to calculate your zakat not on your selling price, but if you had to sell all your stock in one transaction to one person, how much would you be able to realize for those goods? And a person has to, in these sort of rulings, the person has to be honest to himself, really. How much would he be able to realize in acquiring, in selling those goods? So he has to pay zakat on that value. It would be somewhere between his cost, because of course he's not going to sell it at a discount. It reminds me of one person, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he mentioned once, perhaps from the same place, he says that one person was selling something, everything he sell, he said, Maulana, this is my cost. This is my cost. He sells something else, this is my cost, I'm only selling it for cost. They said, why is he in business then? Why must we lie when we are selling something? We have to be honest about these things. Anyway, it will be somewhere between our cost and our selling price. If we had to sell something, all our stock to one person in one transaction just to get rid of it, it won't be below our cost because we don't want to make a loss. It'll be above our cost, but somewhere below our selling price. Then again, sometimes items, it happens such that the item loses value. You bought something for 100 rands. People, for example, they bought those... Maybe it's not the right example to take, but this is a reality. Let's not hide from the realities. They bought flags for the mirrors, during the World Cup time. Country flags, different country flags for the mirrors. Now the World Cup finished and there's no more market left for those goods. So what they bought for 20 rand a flag is now only worth 5 rand or 7 rand. They can't even get rid of it. So then in such a situation, they can give zakat on the market value of those. Whatever the market value is, even though the market value may have gone below one's cost. So in other words, the principle is, what cash can we realize for this now if we had to sell it? So on that basis, we should calculate our zakat. People also ask the question then with regards to giving out our zakat in kind. Not paying it in cash, but giving it out in kind. So it's perfectly in order to give our zakat out in kind. There's nothing wrong if we have to give our zakat out in kind. It's permissible, it's acceptable. But we have to be honest with ourselves as to the value that we attach to that zakat and the type of items that we are giving out in zakat. Sometimes it's the absolute dead stock, the stock that even the poor person doesn't want anymore. So we get that. So many a times at our offices at Darul Ihsan, we get this type of stock coming. One, it reminds me of one consignment of shoes that came. Only the right foot. Only the right foot. Now if you're giving that out in zakat, then what good is that? We'll have to look for everyone who hasn't got one leg and give him that zakat then. So this sort of zakat, then it's sent back to the people normally and say, discharge your zakat in the correct manner. Many people nowadays also invest on the stock exchange. They've got zakatable assets, shares on the stock exchange. So zakat has to be paid on those amounts as well. We're not going to go into the details of which stocks it's permissible to trade in and which stocks it's not permissible to trade in. But if a person has got halal stocks, halal shares on the stock exchange, then a person buys shares for one of two reasons. Either he's a long-term investor in those companies and he wants to benefit from the dividends that are paid, or he's bought those shares for capital gains. In other words, he bought it today. If the price goes up by 2 cents tomorrow, then he'll sell it. So there's two different rulings for both of these people. The person who bought it for capital gains, in other words, if the price goes up, then he sold it. Then why did he buy it? It's a commodity that he's bought for resale. So he has to pay zakat on the market value of that share. But the person who bought it as a long-term investor, then there is a leeway in the Sharia for him to calculate his proportion of the zakatable assets of that company. He can calculate what the zakatable assets of that company are and he can pay zakat on it. For example, if there is a company worth 100 rands, simple example so that we can understand. If there is a company that's worth 100 rands and they issued 10 shares, and I got one share from there. So my share is worth 10 rands. Right? I don't have to pay. If I was buying that share to resell it for capital gains, then I must pay zakat on the full 10 rands. But if I'm buying that share to invest in the company, then there is scope for me to go into the financial statements of that company, to analyze them and see what are the zakatable assets of that company. So from that 100 rands, say, 50 rand was land and buildings. That company had land and buildings. So 50 rand is there. So 50 rand, that 50 rand is not zakatable because there's no zakat on land and buildings. Then we went into that company and we saw that that company, the balance of the 50 rands is, some part of it is furniture and equipment. Say 10 rands is furniture and equipment. So that 10 rand also I don't pay zakat on. There's 40 rands left, and that 40 rands is trading stock, it's cash in the bank, it's debtors that are receivable, people owing the company money. So then, those 40 rands I have to pay zakat on. Now I must look at my share, I've got only 10 rands. For my 10 rands, 6 rands are not zakatable, and only 4 rands is zakatable. So then I can calculate my zakat on that basis as well. That is with regards to a person who has got shares as zakat. People ask the question about who to give zakat to. We have to give zakat to any person who is eligible to accept zakat. We have to be very careful when it comes to giving our zakat as well. Especially in the month of Ramadan. Many people like to give their zakat in the month of Ramadan. And yes, indeed, it is more rewarding to give it in the month of Ramadan. But the reality of the matter is that many of those people who we think are eligible recipients of zakat, they've already collected so much zakat during the month of Ramadan that they're all right for the next 4 months, for the next 5 months. They're sitting with nice balance, healthy bank balances. So such people can't be given zakat. So we need to analyze who is eligible to accept the zakat. Now, to do that, we just need to make some research on the person to the extent that our heart is satisfied that the person is eligible to accept zakat. We don't need to go and ask him. Some people feel offended if you have to go and ask him directly that, "Bhai, you take zakat." You don't have to ask them directly. You can ask people around them. You can ask, look at their outward condition, how it is. And if your heart is satisfied that this person, yes, he has not got gold, silver, cash, trading stock, to pay zakat, you have to look at these things: gold, silver, cash, and trading stock. In order to give zakat to someone, you have to check one more thing. One thing, he should not have gold, silver, cash, trading stock, which is equivalent to nisab. He should also not have non-essential items that are equivalent to nisab. In other words, he got gold, silver, cash, trading stock, he doesn't have. But he's got an 80-inch LCD television. He made his house into a cinema. So such a person, you can't, because that the price of that television is more than nisab, and he must sell that television and fulfill his needs. That such a person, you can't give him zakat then. Or he's got some other non-essential items. If he's got essential items, things that he needs, things that he has to use, for example, he's got an extra vehicle, maybe. But that extra vehicle, it's needed at home because they need to go and pick the children up or something. So then he's not required to sell that vehicle. As long as it's a non-essential item. If it's a non-essential item, then he, and that is equivalent to nisab, then such a person cannot be given zakat. People ask whether it's permissible to give relative zakat. It is permissible to give relative zakat. There's only two types of relatives that you can't give: ascendants and descendants, one category. In other words, your children, your grandchildren, parents, grandfather, grandmother, all of those, you can't give zakat. And spouses can't give each other. Husband can't give the wife, and wife can't give the husband zakat. But other than that, any family relatives that we have, it is perfectly in order to give them zakat. In fact, you'll get two rewards for giving them zakat. One reward for maintaining of family ties, and the other reward for discharging your zakat. Many people prefer not to give their family members the zakat, because if they're going to give it to an organization or they give it to someone else, then they get big jazakallahs and thank you letters, and they are acknowledged as well as good donors. And the family member may even say that, "What's the big deal? You give me 10,000, you're supposed to give me at least 20,000. So the family member may say that even. And therefore people prefer not to give them zakat. But the hadith has it clearly that it is preferable to give your own family members the zakat. With regards to loans that a person has, if a person has given people loans and those are payable to him, in other words, people owe him that money, then he has to add that into his zakat. In other words, debtors, for example. Debtors, he has to add into his zakat. Unless it is a loan where the person is denying it. He's saying, "No, where I gave you money? Where you gave me money? You never ever gave me money." Like Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that some people think that qarz-e-hasana means qarz leke haste rehna. Some people think that qarz-e hasana means qarz leke haste rehna. But that's not the meaning of qarz-e hasana. Qarz-e hasana simply means an interest-free loan. So, if a person says that, no, I owe you the money, he is there, he's not denying it, but he's just not paying. And you've got a reasonable assurance that, look, he is going to pay, so you have to pay the zakat on those loans. The only concession in that is that you don't have to pay it every year. When you receive it, say you received it after 10 years, then you have to pay for the last 10 years, but you don't have to pay it every year. Of course, it's preferable to pay it every year, because once it's received after 10 years, then when you see the amount, then many people back off then. That no, now it's too much to pay. So it's better to pay it every year, but the concession is there that if you have given people loans and they haven't paid you back, then you don't have to pay it this year, but when you do receive it, you have to pay for the past years as well. With regards to loans that you have taken, then there is a little bit of explanation with regards to that, that are those loans deductible from one's zakatable assets or not? I took a loan from someone. So is that loan deductible or it's not deductible? So if I took a loan from someone, then you get two types of loans normally. One is to fulfill your personal needs, emergencies. I needed to take some money, someone got sick, Allah forbid, and I had to borrow some money and I took. So those loans are deductible completely. Are completely deductible from one's zakatable assets. But if a person took a loan, you get something called commercial loans. People took loans, big industrialists, huge businessmen, entrepreneurs, take huge loans to run their businesses. Now, if we have to say that they can deduct all of those loans, that many people who drive big cars and live in palatial homes, not only will they not be paying zakat, many of them will be eligible to accept zakat even. Many of them, you can pay them zakat, even though they're coming in a very expensive car and they're living in a penthouse flat, but you can give them zakat even. So with regards to commercial loans, the ruling is that if you took the loan to buy something that was not zakatable, land and building, furniture, equipment, you took the loan to buy some other machinery, so such a loan is not deductible. You can't deduct that. You took it to buy one S-Class Mercedes-Benz, you can't deduct it. But if you took the loan to buy a zakatable asset, like trading stock for example, you took a loan to buy trading stock, so then you can deduct it. Why? Because you are going to pay on the trading stock. So then you can deduct it from there, because you are going to be paying on the trading stock itself. So these are some of the rulings with regards to zakat. If anyone does have any questions, then you can answer some of the questions. Well, I used to say Q&A doesn't mean quarrels and arguments. It means questions and answers. And I say that I got an answer to all your questions. Hardly you'll get anyone who says that. I got an answer for all your questions. Because if I know the answer, I'll say I know the answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll answer I don't know the answer. So that's also an answer. So if there are any questions with regards to zakat, please feel free to ask those questions. Personal houses.
Personal houses.
Right.
Right.
No, that's a personal loan. It's not a commercial loan. The question is with regards to a personal dwelling that a person has. If a person bought a house, he took finance from a bank. Of course, to take finance from a conventional bank on an interest basis, then there's no room for any permissibility of that. It's haram. It brings upon the wrath, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But supposing someone did take a loan for his house, and let us suppose, for example, that it's an interest-free loan, so the entire amount of interest-free loan is deductible from his zakatable assets, because that's a personal loan that he took. If a person took an interest-based loan, then the ulama say that he's entitled to deduct the capital portion, not the interest portion of that loan. He can deduct the capital portion that is payable from his zakatable assets. This is different from a finance that a person would take from an Islamic bank. From an Islamic bank, you see the Sharia has made a differentiation between a loan and a debt. A loan and a debt. And it's something that is important for us to understand. A loan is payable on demand. If I gave you a loan and I say that you can get it after, you must pay me back after 1 year, and tomorrow I needed the money, I can come and ask you for the money. So, but I gave you a loan. So that's payable on demand, and therefore loans are deductible, personal loans. But if I sold you my pen for 1,000 rand, and I said you have to pay me after 1 year. So I can't ask for that money before 1 year. And you have to pay me 100 rand every month, for example. 100 rand a month, and by the 10th month you'll pay me the full 1,000 rand. So then, the Sharia says that this is different from a loan. The loan, the full amount is deductible because it's payable on demand. Whenever he comes to you, you'll have to pay it. But if it's a debt like this, then only that month's installment is deductible. So in the Islamic banks, it's like this. In the Islamic banks, they normally sell you something and you have to pay for it in installments over a period of time. So only that 1 month's installment is deductible when you take something from an Islamic bank. You can't make him, you see, any benefit that you take from the zakat, from a loan, is characterized in the Sharia as interest. كُلُّ قَرْزٍ جَرَّ مَنْفَعَةً فَهُوَ رِبًا. Every benefit that a person takes from a loan is regarded as interest. So sometimes that benefit may not even be monetary, to the extent that some fuqaha and jurists, they go to the extent to say that if you gave someone a loan, you shouldn't even stand, although that's not the ruling, but they've gone to that extent to say that you shouldn't even stand in the shade of his wall because you're benefiting from him. Or if you gave him a loan today and you never ever used to ask him for a lift, today you asked him, you know, take me home. So that's a benefit that you're deriving from that loan. So it's characterized as interest. So yes, if you tell him that that loan that I gave you, you pay the zakat. So if it was, for example, 100 rands, I'm just using a simple figure. So now you pay the zakat. So this year, he pays the zakat. So now, as long as he doesn't owe you 100 rands now, now he must owe you 97.50 rand. So then it's alright. Because then you've just appointed him to discharge your zakat. So from that loan, he's discharging your zakat. So that's fine. But if you say, no, he must pay the zakat, and he must still at the end of the term owe you the full 100 rands, then that will fall under the category of interest then. Yeah, you will be fully discharging your zakat. The rebate that the government gives is a separate grant from their point of view. There may be differences of opinion, but the opinion that we have reached after discussions and so forth is that you've discharged your zakat. This is a separate grant that the government gives. If you take 2.5% of that rebate and give it away, it's not a major sum of money, then there may be precaution in that. Yeah, then you don't have to pay zakat. If you've written off the loan and there's no way, you had no hope of you ever receiving the money, and you wrote it off, that it's not even a receivable amount anymore, then you don't have to pay zakat on that. When he pays it back, you don't have to pay for the past years. For that year, of course, you'll have to pay, so long as you've got that money at the end of your zakatable year. Then, because if they use 25%, or they use the entire amount, or in that company, all right. There's no zakat on the full value of that, because it was purchased to buy non-zakatable assets. Because property that is purchased for rental income is not zakatable. But there would be some zakatable assets in that, like cash, outstanding rentals that are due for that month. Those would be zakatable. They may be yes, that's about it. On that proportion you have to pay zakat, but not on your full 25%. The bulk of it will be not zakatable. Zakat is payable basically on what you own. So until it hasn't been delivered to you, in this particular case, sometimes you own something but it hasn't been delivered to you. Right? Zakat is payable on that. For example, you bought something, you're importing something from China, from India, and you didn't receive it yet, but they've loaded it up onto the container. Right? So you haven't received it, but the deal is done. So although you haven't received it, you still have to pay zakat on that, because zakat is payable on ownership, not on necessarily what you have in your possession. But in this particular situation, if you ordered something from a manufacturer, then zakat is not payable until you've received it as well, because that's the point in time when you're going to own it. It's not like that. It depends on how those organizations are structured. That's why it's so important that organizations must be structured and guided by ulama. That's something that's very, very important. Of course, as soon as the organization acquires those zakatable funds, then zakat monies should be given to worthy and eligible recipients as soon as possible. And that is the way that it should be done, to keep those monies. And some organizations even say that no, we want to make it self-sustainable, so they purposely hold back those funds despite the fact that there's eligible people knocking on their doors to say that, give us the zakat. So they hold those funds, they invest it, and they want to reach in their mind some critical mass, some goals or budgets or targets that they've set themselves up. So then that, of course, is not something that's right. But some organizations have structured their zakat such, their zakat collection such, that the minute you give it to them, and it's a technical way of how they do it, and I don't want to go into that technicality just in this open forum, but they've structured it such that the minute you give them the zakat is discharged. And it makes it safer for the organization as well, and safer for the person who's giving his zakat, also to say that his zakat is discharged. Because you get so many things, in the times that we are living in, for example, you went now and you gave one organization 10,000 rand in zakat. They closed up for Zohar Salah, and while they were away, someone broke in and took that 10,000 rand. So the organizations also have to cover themselves from these sorts of contingencies that could occur. Because if they're going to say, tell that person, look, you gave us that zakat, but it's not discharged, now where is that person going to get that zakat from again? So they have structured the zakat collection in such a way that the minute you discharge, you pay the organization the zakat, your the zakat is discharged. The responsibility is over. Of course, it's upon that organization now to make sure that they discharge the zakat to eligible recipients as soon as possible. They don't make people wait unnecessarily, because organizations also should be such that if they a service to the poor and needy, that's what they should be. But at the same time, you know, you find cases as well where this particular person who's poor and needy, he's taking grants from 12 organizations. So he's going here and he's going, by the time he's finished, then he's supposed to pay zakat also. Yeah. You know, he mustn't deduct that then. He shouldn't deduct that, because that is now more than his necessities. It's more than an essential item. So such a loan then shouldn't be deductible. There's no more questions, and I'll just read one or two verses of poetry and we can terminate then. The elderly people amongst us may have heard in their young days one poetry, Ek roz mu'mino tumhe marna zarur hai, parte raho namaz ye qaul-e huzur hai. So one poet in Pakistan, one Khalifa of our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he wrote on a similar note on zakat. He wrote, Ek roz mu'mino tumhe marna zarur hai, Ek roz mu'mino tumhe marna zarur hai, Dete raho zakat ye qawle huzur hai, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dete raho zakat ye qawle huzur hai, Dete raho zakat to chahre pe noor hai, Dete nahi zakat to apna qusoor hai. He says, O believers, one day you have to die and leave this world. Keep on giving your zakat, because this is the hukam of the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And keep giving your zakat to chahre pe noor hai. Then there will be noor on your life, on your forehead as well, on your face, on your countenance. And dete nahi zakat to apna qusoor hai. And if you don't pay zakat, then we are the only ones who will be blameworthy on the day of Qiyamah. Hai qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai, hai qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai, par is amal ki dost fazilat ajeeb hai, deta hai jo zakat khuda ke qareeb hai, jo isse ji churaye bara bad naseeb hai. He says, hai qalb par gira ye ibadat ajeeb hai. It's a difficult ibadat on the heart. Ye ibadat ajeeb hai. It's difficult, it's not easy. I'm not talking about the person who got 10,000 rand now and he has to take out 250 rand. It's not so tough for him. If a person got 40 million and he has to take out 1 million. Oh, he's got 1 million and he was looking forward to the 6 zeros. And now he has to give zakat. He's definitely going to go below that threshold. So it's tough for these people. Hai qalb par gira ya ibadat ajeeb hai. It's difficult upon the heart. This is a very strange ibadat. Par is amal ki dost fazilat ajeeb hai. But the fazilat and the virtue of this amal also is very, very great and very, very, very strange. Allah Ta'ala puts lots of barakat in that, where a person discharges his zakat. People don't understand barakat anymore. Barakat is qaleel kathirun naf'. It's little bit in value, but a lot of benefit in it. Otherwise, what's the point if a person has got a lot of money, he earned, for example, 15,000 rand, and for the month he had 10,000 rand in speeding fines. Where's the barakat in that? So he earned a lot, but it was of no benefit to him. Deta hai jo zakat khuda ke qareeb hai. The person who pays his zakat is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jo isse ji churaye bada badnaseeb hai. And the person who tries to wriggle his way out of the zakat, like some people try to wriggle their way out of zakat. I give you one incident, one way people do it. They say that the wife got a jewelry. She owns it for the whole year. Before the first of Ramadan, when zakat is due, she takes all that jewelry and gives it to the husband. So she didn't own it for 1 year. So there's no zakat. Technically, yeah. Technically, there's no zakat upon her. No one will, the Islamic country, the Islamic courts can't impose the zakat upon them. But she tried to wriggle her way out of it. And then the husband does the same thing. He holds it for 1 year. 1 day before the first of Ramadan, he'll give everything to the wife. So there'll be no zakat ever. Jo isse ji churaye, bara badnaseeb hai. The person who tries to wriggle his way out of it and uses this sort of hila, bahana, not to pay zakat, he is a very unfortunate, wretched person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواسينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا فغفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه واجعلنا ممن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا فغفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه اللهم اجعلنا ممن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا فغفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه اللهم أهله علينا هذا الشهر باليمن والإيمان والسلامة والإسلام والتوفيق لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وخذ بنواصينا بالبر والتقوى اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وبك منك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.